New Orleans is the voodoo capital of the United States. It's a city where voodoo is treated as a real religion. One of New Orleans' voodoo practitioners is Sally Ann Glassman. She's a voodoo priestess and the co-owner of the Island of Salvation Botanica, a store and gallery which specializes in voodoo religious supplies. Glassman is also the author of a book called Voodoo Visions, An Encounter with Divine Mystery. She told Ann Strange Champs why voodoo is such a misunderstood religion.
In New Orleans, because the slaves never really achieved revolution as they did in Haiti, the religion was never able to formalize itself, let's say. It wasn't as organized as it is in Haiti. So instead, people tended to practice what's thought of as hoodoo, which is a folk tradition of spellcraft, herbal spellcraft. In Haiti, voodoo is a bona fide religion and has very little to do with spells or hexes or voodoo dolls or anything like that. It's in fact a life-affirming religion. It incorporates just very beautiful music, art, and dance, and it helps people to understand the meaning of their lives. It helps heal individuals and communities and just gives people a sense of meaning.
Where did all the misconceptions come from, the idea that voodoo is this dark art, a black magic?
I think the sources of people's fears are multiple about voodoo. First of all, the Haitian slaves were the first people to defeat Napoleon's army, if you can imagine that. So there was a good bit of fear about who these people were and what their practices did for them. Voodoo was really an organizing force for the Haitian Revolution, and it helped sustain the people through a 13-year, very bloody ordeal. So there was a good bit of fear around that. You know, if you're actively trying to disempower people and here's this religion which is actively empowering them, you'll want to put that religion down. In addition, I think Hollywood has had a tremendous lot to do with it, that on its own, I think most Westerners would be a little disappointed in voodoo. You know, it's not as sensationalized as the movies make it. So people seized on a concept and really exploited it. And consequently, voodoo has the worst PR in the world. But I think also, as Westerners, we tend to be pretty afraid of our shadow selves. We want to be in control all the time. And voodoo practitioners are actively putting aside their ego identities and letting a more archetypal force come through them.
This is the side of voodoo that's involved in spirit possession?
Yes, in spirit possession. And it tends to be a brutally honest experience that we shy away from. We don't want that stuff to show.
Well, tell me more about it. What's spirit possession like and how do you practice it?
It's a pretty extraordinary experience. One of the key factors about the voodoo religion is that it's an ongoing and living religion. The spirits in voodoo are not so much theoretic. They come down amongst us and dance and sing and talk and do healings. In order for that to happen, a person's ego identity has to move aside so that the greater presence of the spirit can come through. And we think of possession in terms of, say, The Exorcist. You know, we're seeing Linda Blair's head spinning around and spewing and swearing. And in fact, spirit possession is not so much a shutting down of the identity, I have found, as an expansion of the limits of what we think of as ourselves. So for me, when I'm going into possession trance, who I am doesn't become crippled. Instead, I'm expanding out far beyond my own boundaries, and it can be an intimidating experience. There is, for me, a whole dialogue that goes on in my head while it's happening, that am I imagining this? Am I so in need of attention that I'm making this happen? Is this crazy? Can I find my way back? That sort of thing. And then it just takes over, and the person who's going through possession in a full possession experience has no memory whatsoever of what happened, what they said or did. The whole experience is for the benefit of the community.
So you feel like yourself disappears. I mean, you're not both you and the spirit there in your body at the same time.
You don't have memory of what you've done. My experience is that it's very much like extraordinary theater where a great actor takes on a role, and who they are is sublimated to what the role is. And the role itself is, say, accented or aspected by who the actor is. Somehow these spirits work through our own subconscious, the veil of our subconscious. And so each person going into possession trance is going to display a slightly different aspect of the same spirit, even though that spirit is completely recognizable, no matter who is possessed by them. And what I've also found is that following possession trance, although I have no memory of what I've said or done, it's almost as though the cells of my body have a memory of it, because there's a feeling of physical awe in my body, in the cells, and the sense that the electromagnetic frequency has been altered or revved up somehow.
Hmm. Can this happen if you don't intend it to? I mean, can just anybody be spirit possessed, or is it something that requires years and years of training?
Absolutely anybody can experience possession trance. And interestingly, I was doing ceremonies with my Haitian papa at the jazz festival in New Orleans years ago, and we were having stagehands getting possessed and people in the crowd getting possessed. It is more difficult to handle if you've never had it happen before. One of the reasons for initiating is that it helps you to manage possession more readily. It makes it a more sanguine experience, more comfortable. They can be pretty traumatic and sometimes can even seem like the person's going through an epileptic seizure.
How do you know they're possessed?
It's very noticeable when a person gets possessed. It can come on in many different ways. They might find a foot rooted to the ground. They may seem to be very drunk. They may stagger and swerve, or they might start into extraordinary dance forms, or they may go into a shaking or seizure type effect. Sometimes the person will go almost into collapse, where they'll quiet down and sink to the ground, or someone will hold them up, or they might fall. And then this greater spirit comes through them, and it's extremely noticeable. The whole atmosphere changes. The person changes completely. It's not their personality anymore. It's someone else. And usually the spirits have much greater knowledge of the other individual's lives, their stories, their histories, their problems and issues than any individual could possibly have. They're privy to deeper knowledge about the other person's needs.
So what do the spirits come through to do? I mean, is it mostly kind of an amazing mystical experience to kind of merge with something larger? Or are you helping? Is this for healing? What's it for?
There are many reasons why the spirits come through, and I think essentially bottom line is it's all about healing. It's all about health, and whether for an individual or for a community. It's all about reassurance and stability, letting each individual in the community know that they're part of an eternal history and part of a whole cosmos and a moral and metaphysical structure that's sustaining and supporting and part of an ongoing community. I think one of the extraordinary lessons from possession is that individual men and women are spiritual beings and can temporarily be manifestations of the divine, that each person is a container of spirit and each person is sacred in that way. Each of us is part of God's energy and contained within the imagination of the world. But essentially, when the spirits come through, they give advice, they give guidance. Sometimes they give you a lecture if you're not living right. And they often do healings, physical healings, emotional, spiritual healings. And the results are often extraordinary.
What's the most amazing experience you ever had with a spirit?
I would say they're all extraordinary, and I couldn't give them a hierarchy of importance. Just to be able to be present when a spirit is standing next to you or is inhabiting your body is such an extraordinary affirmation of the meaning of our existence that I can't really rate them. Mm-hmm. But I've seen some amazing things. I've seen a woman who was 9 months pregnant in Haiti doing somersaults in midair while possessed and was perfectly fine. I've seen people slither up trees without the use of their arms or legs because they were possessed by a snake god. Just amazing things happen. And amazing things are known about you that you've never told the spirit or you've never told the person who's being possessed. So all of that is pretty convincing that the stuff is real and palpable.
When you first went down to New Orleans, you thought, voodoo and jazz, those two kind of go together. Does voodoo feel to you like a form of jazz, sort of the jazz of religion?
I think that voodoo and jazz have a great deal in common, and it's not by coincidence that both originated in New Orleans in our country. They both are based on African roots. They combine many different cultures and influences, and both find their greatest expression in interpretation and improvisation. So yeah, I think you could say voodoo is a very jazzy form of religion.
Sally Ann Glassman's the author of Voodoo Visions, An Encounter with Divine Mystery. She spoke with Anne Strangechamps.